All right, folks, welcome back to American Huddle. I'm your host, Jason Varner, and boy, do we have a show for you guys tonight. Now, you know how we lean slightly to the right on this show, and as that, we kind of fear big government. But wait till you hear some of the things going on at the local level. And we're going to be talking about something that should scare you right out your pants. It should honestly scare you to death. I don't care if you're left, right, in the middle, Republican, Democrat, independent, libertarian, black, white, gray, pink, or any color in between. When people start messing with your children, when they start threatening your children, then you got to stand up and do something about it. I don't care if your favorite governor's in office. When they mess with your children, you got to say no. So we're going to dedicate this entire show to the CPS, Child Protective Services, and how they operate here in North Carolina. Now, I'm no expert on CPS, but let me tell you, the good Lord works in mysterious ways. Let me tell you how this story begins, right? I'm sitting in the city of Durham. I'm going over there to arrange a date for me and my wife and a few friends. We're gonna set us up an escape room. Shout out to NC Escapes, right? And as I'm sitting there waiting on them to open, I get approached by two individuals. Now, I'm not going to lie. At first, I'm thinking, oh, man, multi-level marketing, here we go. How am I going to find a way to tell these very nice ladies, thank you, but I'm not interested? But boy, did my life change within 3 seconds of meeting these individuals. I'm going to save them and let them tell you the rest of the story. Because I don't say this often. It truly changed my life. 3 seconds, an intro, and me fully getting to read what their shirt said changed my life. You see this background here in the video? It says Operation Stop CPS. All right, I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, what's the catch? They're here to find a way to take my child from me, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. You just don't see it. And then they handed me a book, and they said, do you have 5 minutes that we can tell you about what we're trying to do? Okay, for the first time in my life, yeah, I want to hear this. And they said, well, go ahead, take this book, look through it. And while you're looking through it, we want to tell you our story. All right, that's where I'm stopped talking, right? Because you hear me all the time. And that's where I want our two guests to pick up. We have Tafera Austin and Amanda Wallace, the founders of Operation Stop CPS, on the show with us tonight. How you doing, ladies?
We are doing awesome and amazing.
Good.
Awesome. Let me tell you, I'm not being facetious when I say that interaction, our first interaction, was probably one of the most impactful interactions I've ever had in my life. And to hear you guys, when I heard your guys' story, I was like, well, I mean, you heard me. I'm not going to repeat some of the words I said, because, you know, I'm on the radio. So, and I might not be able to be on it anymore if I repeated those exact words, but it was a blessing. And, you know, I did some research after our conversation, ladies, and I didn't realize this. You sparked a lot of thought for me. I didn't realize that in North Carolina, it's a class one misdemeanor, according to General Statute 301. That if you know of any neglect, abuse, any sort of misbehavior towards children, and you don't report it, you can be charged with a misdemeanor. I didn't know that. And, you know, that's pretty powerful. When you see a government law, a statute, a general statute for a state to say, hey, if you don't report it, you can be charged. It kind of makes people say, okay, I need to report everything, right? I got to tell on my neighbors for everything. If they discipline their child, I got to tell on them. If they raise their voice, I got to tell on them. If they're outside wrestling with their parents, it even looks like something I got to tell on them. I mean, does this happen with you guys? Do you get like just a bunch of, like, not necessarily malicious calls, but almost like just calls that don't make sense? Like, oh my God, I saw this dad raise his voice at his son. Like, do you guys get those calls?
Every day of the week, CPS gets calls from people who have so many concerns with other people's children, but do not know much about them. I mean, you can call CPS and say you have concerns about someone's child, and you don't even have to know the child's name.
So what do you?
You don't even have to know their address.
So what is your process? Like, what is your process? Like, so let's just say I called you guys right now and I said, John, I saw John, my neighbor, and he was raising his voice at his son, and it just looked very aggressive, and I fear for that child's welfare. Like, what are you then required to do with CPS workers?
So from that point, you know, the call comes in. And so, you know, we've advocated, like, you know, from that call, like, initiating more questions. Like, you know, just asking more questions in regards to, like, okay, he's aggressive, but how is he aggressive? You know, but we've gotten to this place where we have limited questions that need to be asked. But when they take that case, then it just goes out to the next worker that's in line for a report.
Yep.
With all the power to come into their house and ask them how they discipline their child, if they drink, what they do in their private time, in their private home, just because someone saw you being aggressive, or speaking aggressively to your child. That okay. gives the government the right to come in your home and ask all these other questions.
Okay, let me pump the brakes right there for a minute. For simple-minded folks mm-hmm. like myself, mm-hmm. can you elaborate on what you mean from that call? They have all the power to come. Like, they can literally visit my home. Do I
sure.
have to let them in?
Well, you don't, but a lot of people don't know that. You know, that was the reason for this guide, because people are, I mean, look, when I first started in child welfare, there was a problem, but it wasn't like this. I mean, we could advocate when someone called and it wasn't, you know, a real problem. We talk through it. People are so sensitive nowadays, and we just want to make sure that we're not missing anything. So guess what? Someone calls, and if it's screened in, so right, a reporter calls CPS. They say, I have a concern for this child. Just like you said, I saw this dad doing this. The intake worker, they staff the information with their supervisor. And they say, well, do we think that this is abuse, neglect, or dependency? But see, the problem is, the law is what the law is, but we have this thing called policy. And our policies are suggestive, and they bring in the feelings. Is it inappropriate to yell at your child? Well, it could. I don't think it, but someone else could. But so the intake worker and the supervisor get to make that decision. And so when they make that decision, if they screen a case in because they feel you have abused and neglected your child, guess what? That gives the government the right to come to your house and ask you all the questions about your child.
And
from that one phone call.
And so once again, some of those questions might be, you alluded to, do you drink? Well, what does that have to do with me being a parent?
Apparently, in an investigation, we have to assess the child's well-being. See, when a case comes in, and what the law says is that the investigator is supposed to assess safety, and they're supposed to assess the allegations. But see, policy says the worker has to assess well-being, and that means checking where your child goes to the doctor. Checking where, you know, if your child is going to school and what their attendance looks like. Because we have to check on the well-being of all children just because we got a call, not to just ensure that they are safe if it's warranted. We gotta clean that up, because there's a lot of cases coming in that shouldn't be cases to begin with.
Right. And so I'm assuming, all right, and please tell me I'm wrong in this assumption. It's almost like there's this, the way you're describing it, is there like this, you know, list of boxes that's got to be checked off. And if I say I drink, well, that's a strike against me. If I say,
right.
you know, my child is homeschooled, is that a strike against me? If I give any answer that goes against, dare I say, PC world, I mean, am I getting strikes against me, whether it's bad or not to say that that's wrong parenting, but if it's against the societal norms. Like, if I homeschool my child, do I have to worry about if CPS comes and me answering that question? Like, oh, well, this guy's a home. He homeschools his child. Oh, he socially drinks. Like, is this what they're doing? Like, are they basically building a case against me from the time they start questioning me versus coming out with the best? Because the way I would see CPS, right, is I'm a conservative fella, but I believe in government, right? I understand that there's a place for it, and I would like to think that government's here to help me. So if someone was to call and say, oh, well, this guy's being aggressive, I would think that CPS, okay, so they call me, and they ask me questions. But I would want to say they're doing it from a place of sincerity where they just want to figure out what's going on. Hey, sir, could you tell us what happened in this situation? Like, we're just trying to figure it out because somebody called and complained, and obviously perception can be people's reality. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'd have a problem with the person that called it in. I might not find out who it is, but I wouldn't have a problem when my government asked me that question. But if you ask me if I drink, when you're supposed to be calling to check on my, interaction between my child, what does that have to do with it? If drinking's so bad, why is it legal? Like,
and Jason, you know, when you said when they call you and they ask you, that's the thing that's part of the that when you question back, just human nature. Like, I want to know why you're calling me.
Right.
I want to know what this consists of. Well, you know, parents, because of the unknown and not knowing and getting that initial call, you're being told that you can't receive that information via the telephone. Mm-hmm. So normally, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get that information over the phone. So to have a conversation and discuss that, that's not going to take place over the phone with that policy and not law. Because lawfully, a parent should know what they're being accused of.
Right.
And that, you know, that centers around, and like you said, you know, drinking, because we have a risk assessment that we do. And, you know, it's just, like you said, checking off those boxes and saying, because even when you use the example of homeschool, you know, if you went from having a report that said you was aggressive, and then they found out, oh, your kid's in homeschool? Well, we need to find out if your kid is registered to be in homeschool. You know, we need to find this out. And again, you know, the drinking. If drinking's legal and the child is safe,
what does it matter?
You know, we have so many biased experiences. Mm-hmm. And well, actually, on the risk assessment, I think you get a 2 if you drink. Yeah, it's really like we number families. Like, I pulled it up. Yeah, if you have mental health problems, you get a 2. If you had a drug problem, you get a 1. And then you add up all these numbers, and then you subscribe a number to see how risky parents are with their children.
So okay, for someone
that's what CPS has come to.
All right, so someone like me who's a veteran, okay, and I'll just put it out there. I'm a veteran, all right? I didn't realize this till a few months ago, but according to my doctor, I have mild symptoms of PTSD. So... If God forbid...
That would be a 2.
Yeah, God forbid me and my son ever get in an argument. Because guess what? Me and my son get in a lot of arguments. He usually wins, but I still argue with him, right? And somebody sees that and dislikes it. And says, oh, well, this guy was in an argument with his son. He raised his voice at his son. They're going to call me, and when they say, hey, do you have any mental issues? And I'm trying to be honest. I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, I was in the military. According to the doctor, I have PTSD. They're penalizing me?
Yeah, because you have a mental health problem. It says a caretaker has a mental health problem. So you would get it to, even though you're a veteran that went and fought for this country and has no, your mental health does not impact your ability to parent, you still on this form, you're a 2 just because you have PTSD.
Oh,
because they would tag that in saying that you have PTSD, and you're aggressive with your child.
Yeah.
And therefore, because you're aggressive with your child, you haven't addressed your PTSD.
They'll
pull that around.
Wow. Yeah, well, I could go ahead and tell you, according to what you've told me already, if anybody doesn't like me, you can just go ahead and call CPS because I drink socially, According to the doctor, I have mild cases of PTSD. And me and my son, who's 8 years old, we argue in depthly on the regular. Like, it's got to the point where we flip Monopoly boards. Like, who's going to win this game, son? He doesn't like to lose. I don't like to lose. So we got to watch who we invite over to our house now, I guess. You know, but it honestly, I guess if I summed up what you told me so far, is CPS and government in general is no longer facts first, followed by feelings. It's now feeling first, and we try to back into the facts.
Yes, that's it. Exactly.
That is scary.
It's all about people's feelings.
That is scary. Mm-hmm. That
it's
is
all about your perception and your feelings, especially when you have the power to take away someone's legacy, their children. I mean, this is. I mean, I don't think people understand how big this problem is, and the fact that it's getting worse.
Yeah, so let me ask you.
Like I said, when I first started, it wasn't like this. It's getting worse.
So let me ask
you. Yeah, and we seem to.
Oh, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that we seem to focus on the fact that those kids are being abused versus, you know, the trauma, you know, just the trauma that kids that have not been abused and just that process and that mental health of those children. You know, when we hear the word CPS, we think of, oh, we have to protect the kids. But it's what about all of these children that, like you said in the guide, those that 1.9 million families that have been affected unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to concentrate on that because, like Amanda said, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a problem that has not been addressed. You know, you have, you know, workers that are tight because we are concentrating on the fact that just really
irrelevant.
Right.
It's irrelevant. And if we're going and we're destroying families and homes, and you have parents now questioning their parenting, you have, you know, kids understanding how the system works in their favor now.
Right.
And so now there's a higher concept of kids that are acting out based off of the stigma of what they know now of CPS.
Right. So it's almost like,
it's like
now you're creating.
Together now.
Yeah, you're almost creating an environment for fraud. Like, you know, that can be manipulated. When you know, hey, my dad didn't buy me the Xbox and. So now all I got to do is... Yeah.
That happens. It happens. That happens. I had one. That happens. I didn't get the new iPhone 11. I didn't get the new, you know, Xbox, like you said. So, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to say this against my dad because he made me mad today.
And so let me just, for the audience, I want to re-clarify. You ladies have worked in CPS. You are still in... the system, the CPS system, and you're stating these things. It's not like you're, you know, conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat wearing, you know, guys like me in their basement. Like you're there in the system trying to do the right thing, trying to abide by the law, trying to keep kids who really are in danger protected, and to be there for families that actually need some help and assistance. Because as we know, there are problems in our country. Sometimes there's no guide to how to raise kids. You know, you're not given one when your child's born. Like, hey, do this on day one, this on day six, this on year one. Like, so it's a learning process. I have two. I still haven't figured this thing out. God knows. Thank God for their mother. But, you know, and there are instances, maybe, you know, when it would be beneficial for an organization like CPS to be there just to assist if the parents need help, or in, God forbid, those situations where there really are children being abused, whether it's sexually, physically, you know, verbally even, because, you know, verbal abuse is just as bad as anything else. You can really mess with a child's, you know, mental state. But it seems like it's almost like you're telling us that, guys, you know, that we've been on a slippery slope for a long time, and this system's being abused, and it's being abused in such a way that it's detrimental to the family. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is what you are hearing. I've been doing this for, like I said, over 10 years, and I have never gotten out of investigations. I started an investigation, CPS investigations, And I'm still in investigations because I never wanted to get out of the field because I saw what it was and I felt like I was protecting families. If I stayed in the field, I can always protect families from, you know, this the overreach. Or right. if this is not right, I could speak up, right? I've always been, I've gotten in a lot of trouble over the years speaking up, right?
Right.
But it got to a point now that speaking up is dangerous now as a worker. It's dangerous. You get sent to attorney's offices. You get sent if you speak up, and I can't do it. I couldn't do it. Like I'm like my job affects people's lives.
Right.
And this is not right. And I was on the team that was supposed to design safety. It was a safety design team, and we have been on the team for a year. It was a year. It was prior to COVID, and we had not designed anything related to safety. And I was so confused. And then I saw the system can't change from the inside because they won't see that they're the problem.
Wow. So,
and that's how me and Amanda actually linked up, because I've been doing this for over 10 years, still doing it. I've been in investigations the whole time. And it's so powerful when you have two people on the same page and seeing the same problem. And doing the same thing for the amount of time that we both have been doing this. And like she said, it's to a point now where, you know, you have to go from the outside. Like you have to, you know, that's my frustration. It's advocating for families to protect children and protect family rights, and knowing that on the right side of right is right. You know, we are under all of these, you know, rules and regulations under the government. And, you know, but then when you have it to where the government is coming at another stance and things become numbers mm-hmm. versus helping and assisting, it's a, you know, a systematic oppressive system. It's a problem. It's a problem.
And so I'm assuming then, based off what I'm hearing from you, this is what has been the fuel, the inspiration that really has propelled you guys to write this guide, Respond in Power Guide, a parent and caretaker's guide to the child protection system. This is what really fueled and inspired this book that you've written to come into existence. And tell me a little bit about it. What are we going to find in this book?
Man. Yes, I mean, that, like you said, this is what fuels this guy. When I said, what is the problem? What is it? Why, for all of these years, reform, 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 and it keeps getting worse. What is the problem? And it was that parents did not understand what to do when CPS knocked on the door. They didn't, they would just give me so much information. Jason, I mean, it was like, why did you just tell me that? You know, like, it's because people, guess what? We're the friendly social workers, right? The social right. workers are trained to talk to people.
And it's almost
and we come in like therapists.
It's almost like they're giving you the right? information because they want to be honest and forthright, and that information is then mm-hmm. turned around and used against them.
Exactly. Wow. But and that was the thing. I don't want people that have abused their kids to be able to use this guide to abuse their kids. That doesn't even make sense. Why would I just devote 10 years of my life to then do that? What I want people to do that keep their children safe, that just are out in this world just trying to do their best to be able to pick this guy up, understand the system, understand how it works, because you have to understand why it is the way that it is. You got to understand why the money keeps coming. You got to understand, you know, what the idea of where the idea of appropriate parenting versus inappropriate parenting came from. And understand that it's not a conspiracy theory. These are not these shadowy figures that are, you know, these puppeteering. No, these are just people that run this system. And it is when parents and caretakers know what to do when they get that knock is when you turn them away and you turn their power off. So hey, all right, you got this case, you got this call. So now what do I do? You need to gather the facts. That's how they try to throw, they show up at your house and they're throwing information at you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to get in control, gather facts, and know how to respond. These are your children.
Right.
These are your prized possessions. These are your children. You got to know, and no one can tell you that you don't have a right to get information to respond. That's what we want. If the biggest thing that we can get people to understand is this. The friendly social workers is a tactic. It is a tactic to gain information. That is it.
Wow.
Arm yourself with your rights so that you can respond and know what to do if someone knocks on your door and asks you about your children. That's it. That's what the guide is. Hey, okay, what's the information? Everybody, let's get together. Let's figure out how we got here. What do we need to address? Let's address it. And then that should be the end of our interaction. Because if my child is safe, I don't need the government.
Right, right. And so let me ask you this.
That's it, right?
Right, I mean... I look at what government does already with my children and the school system. It is not good. I mean, there's a lot, I'm very hesitant as it is, but I'm even more hesitant now. I mean, I don't know of a better way to say it than what you said it, that the friendly social worker is in fact a tactic. And that should scare every person listening to this show and any other show you ladies might find yourself on, which I hope is much larger audiences than this one. But who will this book benefit? I mean, is there one facet of the population that it seems like CPS's tactics is affecting more? Are we talking, is it impoverished people that CPS is going after? Is it people of color? Is it white people? I mean, or are they just going after everybody equally?
It started where it was, targeted places, families of color. We have that in the guide, families of poverty, families in those, populations. But it has branched out to families now, especially with the COVID and the pandemic situation. It's just families that are living their normal lives and trying to parent the best way they can.
Right.
And that could be like we have an example of a prominent man that's raising his son, has his own business. His wife graduated from a prominent college in North Carolina, and he found himself in the system. That, now it's like, over policing a family.
Right.
For wrestling.
Well, I'm guilty, CPS. I wrestle my son every day. So, I mean.
So to answer your question, Jason, we could. It's impacted more with families of color and families in poverty, because those, that culture within itself, We have to educate that culture on your parental rights. These are your rights.
Right.
You have rights. Exercise those rights. And that's what the guide does. It's like, you wouldn't go somewhere. You wouldn't go to a restaurant and say, hey, just give me anything, and just take it.
Right.
It's like with the guide, you have the outline. Take it. Use it to your advantage, and arm yourself, because like I said, it could be an everyday Joe that gets a knock on their door because your next door neighbor is mad because you cut your grass too low.
Right. And then now you're in the system.
That's an example.
And
now you're in the system. And I will say, Jason, I want anyone that has teenagers growing up in today's society needs this guide, because it is, it's like they have a club at school and they're like, who's going to call CPS?
Right. I remember telling my mom that once when I was about 12, like, Mom, I will call DSS. And then she just laughed at me. And then I knew that if
I told my parents that too.
But it's like now they take it from the joke level to we're actually doing it, right? Yeah. Wow. That's scary.
It's real now. It's real. That these kids are, serious. Like,
oh my God. Like, yes.
And it seems like the government is almost glad that that's happening because it just gives them more. Oh, now we got to weigh in. Ooh, now you will comply with COVID mask rules or else you've already been reported for, you know, wrestling with your son and now you're not forcing him to wear a mask. Well, you're not a fit parent. You know, that's crazy. That is scary.
Yep. So, it's all about control though.
So I want to tell people where they can find this guide and correct me if I'm wrong, but they can find it on Amazon.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they can also find it on your website, which is, listen up, folks, is OperationStopCPS.com. Again, that's OperationStopCPS.com. You can find out on our website at AmericanPodTalk.com. You can find it on our Facebook page. We're going to post it up there. You ladies also have some merchandise that you're putting out there, one, for awareness and branding, but two, to generate even more funds to help continue this message that you're trying to put out to more and more people to broaden your reach. We're going to put some of those shirts up on our personal website, Operation Stop CPS t-shirts, which is basically that logo right here behind me on the television screen. You can find them on our website. I think you guys are working on a website to sell those from too. So, is there any place else that people can go to find this book, or did I cover that?
You covered it. Amazon and OperationStopCPS.com.
Well, I just want to say thank you again to Miss Farrah Austin as well as Amanda Wallace. You guys, I'm telling you, that experience has forever changed my life. I will never forget it. I hope we stay in touch. I'm going to send this show out to all the other people I know that have shows. I want you to tell your story in as many places as possible because you're right. We should all be scared. Government has a place, ladies and gentlemen. They're there for good reasons. Our founding fathers was very smart with the system that they instituted. But at some point, when the wrong people get that kind of power in their hands, it can be dangerous. Thank you again to Tafara and Amanda. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of American Huddle. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Can't wait to talk to you folks later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how long you were tuned into that last one, but if you come in late, you need to restart and listen to the whole thing. Tafara and Amanda were awesome. They are current CPS workers, and they are on a mission to stop CPS overreach. I know. I couldn't believe it either. When they approached me on the street, I honestly thought they're here to sell me something. And they were. The truth. And that's so rare today. And they gave me this book, Respond in Power, a guide, right? It's a parent and caretaker guide to the child protection system. And they were the nicest, most upfront, honest people. And what they said in our last segment, we didn't get to get into everything I wanted to, but we're going to have them back on. It scared me. Like, if I was to take anything away and to sum it all up, I would say this. One, whisper at your children. Don't yell, okay? Two, if you're playing Monopoly, whatever you do, don't toss the board, okay? The days of daddy wrestling with his son is over, okay? You're going to have to find another way to do male bonding. And four, if they ask for an iPhone 11 or an Xbox, you better buy them. And if you ain't bought it for them, you better get this guide so you know what to say when CPS shows up at your door. Look, I'm kind of making light of a very serious situation. Obviously, there's overreach in the system. You heard it from people on the inside. We have a part to play in making this right. You know, that's not to say that all CPS is bad. Again, I believe that there's a place for it. I want that sort of protection from our government that's looking out for all the children because God knows there are terrible instances where children are abused, whether it's mentally, physically, or sexually, and that's unacceptable. But at the same time, government needs to understand that there's no better parent for the child in most cases than the two that God picked for them. And so with that, that's my last word. Check out their website, OperationStopCPS.com. Look for their book on Amazon.com. Again, it's Responding Power Guide, a parent and caretaker guide to child protection system. If they show up at your door, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want to have read this book. For the last time tonight, I'm out. I got to go home and talk to my son about not buying them Pokemon cards he asked for.